We'll get there. Praise the Lord. Good morning.
The Bible gives us many insights and examples of what it means to be a true servant of God. This is the 10th message in the series that I've entitled, The Servants of God. We're looking at the early servants of God that are found in the book of Acts. And this book provides valuable information about many different servants in the early church. But Peter and Paul figure prominently in this book. It's the whole book talks about the missionary work of Peter and Paul and all the servants that they interact with throughout their missionary work. Peter was the one who became bold after our Lord's resurrection. And previously we saw he was arrested on two different occasions. And both times he refused to stop preaching. Instead he said, we must obey God rather than man. And all of us need to understand that that is God's rule. We are to obey God above and beyond everybody and anybody else when it comes to His work. Today we're going to look at another arrest of Peter. And we're going to look at the prayers of faith that broke him out of jail. Can you imagine that? He was arrested for preaching and God broke him out of jail. How dare he do that, right? Who does God think he is anyway? The Bible shows us about 650 definite prayers throughout the pages of Scripture. And there are at least 450 of those prayers that have very specific answers to them. And you know, sometimes God says no. How many people of you know that? How many of you know that God sometimes says no? Paul walked around with a thorn in his side, he called it, some sort of an ailment, some sort of a sickness or something that was wrong with him, and God said no. We know that God hears our prayers, and we hope, at least today, that each one who hears this message will accept the importance of prayer in our lives, in the life of the church, in the lives of what we're to do in this world. Last week, we looked at the first 5 verses of this chapter to comprehend the fact that God sometimes allows His servants to be harmed. It's not always the case, but sometimes God lets His servants be harmed. He lets His servants get arrested. He lets them get tormented. He lets them get persecuted and even killed because of their faith. We pray that it doesn't happen. We hope that it doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. And the record of the early church is full of examples of arrest and torture and even murder of believers. We've covered some of those in this series of messages. Remember Stephen, killed because of his faith. Remember Tabitha, died but was brought back. And these were all servants of God. The entire history of the church is full of these kinds of things. There are many examples. In fact, there are books that are written about the martyrs of the church. As we saw last week, persecution is ongoing in much of the church today. We just happen to be escaping it right now. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to page 742. That's the Pew Bible there, Acts chapter 12. We're going to read through the chapter, which is about 24, 28 verses, I think, 25 verses. And we're going to hear about this time when Pete was arrested. Let's pray, shall we? Father, please change us with Your Word, Lord. Make us into fully committed servants. Help us to be everything that You want for us to be. And Father, I ask that You would enable us to be faithful believers. Help us to honor and obey You no matter what. I pray this in Christ's name. Take Your Word, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Let us see and hear with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Use us, Lord, as Your servants wherever we are, whatever we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, hear what's written in Acts chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He probably lopped off his head, as we covered last week. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So after he killed James, he arrested Peter. And then were the days of unleavened bread. This was a festival of the Jewish faith at that time. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending after Ishtar to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He didn't know that this was real. He thought he was just imagining it, or that it was a vision of some sort, or a dream. So when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. In other words, they depended on Herod's country for food. Anyway, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So Herod's sitting on his throne and he makes this speech. And the people gave a shout saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As we look in the early church, we see people who were absolutely dedicated to spreading the gospel. Sometimes those people were attacked by the people that thought they were God's people. And this has happened all through time. Even those who have called themselves Christians have murdered those who were truly professing Christ. Sometimes the people who profess Christ are the very perpetrators of violence against authentic believers. I shared a small personal example last week of in-house mistreatment. But I forgot an important point, folks, and I didn't want to leave that out of this series. I forgot to mention that we are to pray for those which despitefully use us and those who persecute us, as Jesus said, and it's written in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We must always remember that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not the people that we're wrestling against. Even though it's those people that are doing the harm to us, it is those powers and principalities. It's those rulers of darkness of the world and those spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And no matter what mistreatment we receive, we have a duty to forgive. We have to remember, and I can tell you folks, I've forgiven those folks that have mistreated me. But there's nothing in Scripture that says we are to forget. Nothing tells us we're to forget. And in fact, if anything, we're to be mindful. You remember whenever Paul said, no, that John Mark, I don't want you bringing him because he abandoned us before. He didn't not forgive him, but he remembered John Mark was a little soft. And he didn't want John Mark coming on one of these missionary journeys and failing somewhere in the midst of that journey. He remembered that softness. He remembered his weakness. So now, we get back to our text. James was killed. Sometime later, Pete was arrested. And he was put under four sets of four guards, okay? Four sets. So he's got two guards with him and two watching to make sure that nobody could get in or out. They were going to make sure that there was no escape, no prison break, no way for him to get out. Now, isn't it just like God to overcome man's best efforts? Isn't that something? The believers knew that Herod would have killed Peter like he killed James. They knew that. And so what happened? Did they hatch a plan to break him out of jail? No. They didn't hatch their own plan. They went to prayer. And they prayed very hard without ceasing. And I say without ceasing because when you look at the root word behind that phrase, without ceasing, you see that it was earnest prayer. It was fervent prayer. They were really buckled down, okay? They were praying hard that he would get released somehow. God, save him. We don't want to lose Peter. That root word there makes it so they were praying continuously, but not just continuously. They were praying diligently. And it was probably without eating. They were probably fasting. But who did they pray to? Who does the Scripture say they prayed to? Did they pray to Jesus? No. Did they pray to the Holy Ghost? No. The Scripture says very plainly, they prayed to God. And why is that important? Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus taught them to pray to God. God Almighty. To the Father. That's what Jesus taught. He taught them to do that. In fact, when you look at Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, you see that to emphasize the fact that they were all praying, it tells us when Peter came to his senses and realized that this wasn't a dream, it wasn't a vision, that this was a real event, that it really happened, that the angel broke him out of jail, where did he go? He went to John Mark's mom's house where it says many were gathered together praying. They were praying. Now, once again, the other passage of Scripture there tells us they were praying to God. And they prayed directly to Almighty God, just as Jesus had taught. Now, I have to ask, is this our first response when things go wrong? Is this our automatic response to a crisis in the church, for example? Is it our automatic response? Are we driven to our knees in prayer? Do we petition the Lord? Do we beg Him? Are we begging God? Do we intercede for those that have need? Like our brother Gary, for example. We've been interceding on behalf of Gary. We've been praying for Gary, for God to touch him, to raise him up, to give him strength in his body to overcome this disease. We've been interceding. That's what it means. It means to go to prayer on behalf of somebody else. To ask for God's mercy, to ask for His favor, to ask for His blessing. And so, I have to ask another question. Do we rely only on ourselves and our knowledge? Or are we placing our faith in God? That's what needs to happen. We need to place our faith in God. We need to become like little children, Jesus said. Like these little ones who trust their parents absolutely. These guys, the youngest of our congregation, they don't know any better than to trust their parents. And that's how we are to be with God. We're to trust Him like the little children trust their parents. After all, He's our Heavenly Father. And in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, it's written, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
We can bind things on earth, and we can bind things in heaven. We have that power.
Jesus said so. I take him at his word. If we don't take him at his word, we're calling him a liar. Here, when Pete showed up, he thought the girl was mistaken. Thought she was crazy. You're out of your mind. And Peter kept knocking. And so, after a while, they came to believe that God had answered their prayers. But right at first, they didn't. And isn't that sometimes how we are? Sometimes we pray without believing. We're hoping, but we're not really truly believing. And there's maybe a fine line between believing and hoping. We hope when we pray for somebody that prayer is answered. But do we believe that prayer is going to be answered? You know, I went to this conference the other night, Tuesday night. It was a healing conference. After the service was over, there was a man that came up to me, and I can only say that God guided him. I didn't give him any indication that I wanted to talk to anybody. The service was over. I was getting ready to leave. And this guy came up to me, and he put his hand on my neck, and he was praying for me. And as he did, I felt electricity go down through my spine. I felt it. And this was a guy that had been prayed for by the guy that was the healer. And he said, now you have to take that and you have to give it to others. I felt it. There was something that happened. Something different happened. There was electricity. And he didn't plug me into the wall. Something happened. It came from him to me, okay? It must have been from God to him to me. And since then, I've been better able to think. I've been so fatigued. I've been so worn out. And so I asked God that night when I was sitting there, God, if you have anything for me, clear up this thing that's going on with my thinking. I need to be able to think. I need to be able to remember to do what I do. I can't do it otherwise. And God said, you need to take a day off. A day. One day and rest. Now there's where I sinned, folks, because I hadn't. I hadn't in weeks. Because every single Monday, my day that I had planned to take off, something happened where somebody needed something and I felt I had to do whatever it was. I had to go wherever it was. I had to be whoever I am in some other circumstance without getting rest. And God showed me. I erred in that. And so this week, Chris and I took one day, 24 hours of rest, where my phone was off. It was on, but it doesn't work there. But we rested. And I feel, this was day before yesterday. Yesterday we ran. Today, you know, I'm still feeling okay. The point is, when we pray, we have to pray believing. And I just said a simple prayer. God, if you can give me anything out of this, I don't care how. And he fixed it. Now, did I do that? No. God did it. Because I just simply asked that prayer, believing that he could do it, and he did it. These guys, they're praying for Pete. And they lost sight of the reality that God could do what they were praying for. And they were astonished to see him. But Pete calmed them down, and then he went and hid out somewhere else. You don't want to bring attention to them. You know, he went somewhere else and hid out. But then what happened? Old Herod there, God took care of him too, didn't he? Filled him up with worms, and the worms ate him away. Killed him. Now, I just recently listened to a sermon that reminded me of the three ways that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He told his disciples at that time, and that extends to us, to pray to God as our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, giving God the glory. This is exactly what Herod got killed for, not giving God the glory, because God used him. God's the one that sets up kings. God's the one that takes down kings. God set up Herod as the king, and God took him down with some worms. And then Jesus also taught for us to pray to God as our friend. We're going to look at these three things, and I want us to look in the scriptures to actually read it for ourselves, folks. And he also taught us to pray to God as the judge. Now, let's look at his teaching on prayer by first opening our Bibles to the 6th chapter of Matthew. You'll find that on page 652 in the Pew Bible. Matthew, and it's chapter 6. And we are going to read, let's see, verses 6 through 15. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 6 through 15. And I want you to hear what Jesus says about praying. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Then Jesus adds, which we don't usually pray with that prayer, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. This is Jesus himself. Notice that this prayer is all about God. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We bow before you. We beg your mercy. Deliver us from evil. Give us our food. Take care of us. We can't take care of ourselves. It's acknowledging the power of our Heavenly Father, and it's yielding to him like children. That's all God wants. He wants us to be in full submission to him. And now, I want you to open your Bible to the 11th chapter of Luke. That's on page 700 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 13. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, did we just sing a hymn this morning, teach us to pray, Lord? Teach me to pray, Lord? Yeah. And he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Here he goes again. This is Luke's rendition of that same time, okay? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, and this is the part that Luke brings, that Matthew didn't. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, loaves of bread, food. For a friend of mine, in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say, Jesus is preaching here, I say, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and that word importunity means persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God gives us good things, most especially his Spirit. Most especially. You think about that. Here's our father and our friend. And whenever Jesus is talking about this friend scenario, he says, how many of you would go to your friend and say, hey, I need some help. I've got a buddy that came in from out of town. He's traveling and I need some food. I got to feed this guy. He's weary. And your friend, he's in bed. His kids are in bed. And he says, look, buddy, I'm not coming. I can't help you. I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. I'm not going to wake the kids. You're on your own. But you keep on knocking. You keep on asking. You keep on begging. And what happens? He says, if for no other reason, if he won't help you because he's your friend, if he won't help you because you're there, he's going to help you because you're not going away. He's saying, pray and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying because God will hear your prayers. He knows how to give good gifts to his children, and he's our friend. There's the two scenarios there, father and friend. And we know that he wants to help us. And sometimes we have to keep on keeping on in order to get the answer to that prayer. And now sometimes, as I've said before, the answer is no. But that doesn't mean we should stop. God knows what we need before we ask. We should keep on praying and never give up. God protects and defends His people eternally. We have eternal protection. The question is, though, will we remain faithful? And I say that because that's what Jesus asked. So what about James, right? Why did James die? Why did James die? Did anybody pray for him? Well, we don't know because it doesn't say. Maybe this was an expedient death. Maybe Herod says, you catch that guy, lop his head off. Maybe nobody knew until after the fact. We don't know. We don't know what the scenario was. But, you know, think of Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death. There was no way he was getting out of that one unless God revived him like he revived Paul when Paul got stoned and tossed out of town for dead. Maybe God just allowed him to die because his work was done. Maybe he finished his work and God said, okay, it's time to come home, my good and faithful servant. And sometimes that happens. We don't like to see it happen. We don't want to see our brothers and sisters. We don't want to see them go home. We'd like to keep them around for a while. We want them to stay here. But you know what? Sometimes God says it's time, and He takes them home. And sometimes it's not by pretty pictures. It's not an easy death. You think of Stephen who got stoned. Maybe James, you know, I don't know how it feels to have your head lopped off. Never had that happen before. I hope I don't. But maybe, just maybe, that was a quick and swift death. He didn't feel much. You know, if we believe in God, then we recognize the fact that He is almighty and He has power over everything in His creation. He's created it and He has power over it. He has authority over everything that He's created in the physical world and in the spiritual world. You think about Satan and his angels. God has control over Satan and his angels. Now, they're given a free rein, but God could stop them at any moment. And we see that in the story of Job. The devil came to God and says, hey, about your servant Job there, you know, the only reason he's faithful is because you take good care of him. And God says, no, I don't think so. Well, let me at him. And the devil tears into Job and God says, what? You can do anything you want, but don't kill him. You can do anything you want, but don't kill him. And sometimes God lets some pretty horrible things happen to His people. But it's all to His glory. One way or another, it's to His glory. And we can't blame Him for the wrong that happens in our lives. Even though He allows it, we have to continue to place our faith in Him and trust that He knows what's best, even when it doesn't look like what's best for us. But it's best for Him. By turning to our Creator in prayer, we acknowledge His spiritual dominion. We acknowledge His dominion over everything. We acknowledge our need for Him in our daily lives. We need Thee every hour, we sing. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. How many times have we sung that? Do we really get it? Because we all need Him. All of us. Because if we don't turn to God, we're relying on ourselves, right? But if we turn to God, we're saying, God, we give it to you. You help us. You are the one that has power here. You are the one that has control. Prayer requires yielding our dependence upon Him. I can depend on anything, right? Right now, I'm depending on this floor to hold me up. I'm depending on this floor to maintain my position at this pulpit. I depend on this pulpit to hold all these things that I have, including this device that we're using to reach Gary today. I'm depending on things every day of my life, but I must remember to depend on Almighty God supremely. I don't depend on anything other than God supremely. And as I said, I acknowledge I depend on things. I've depended on automobiles for much of my adult life. Chris and I were talking about it the other day. I've been driving since she was 4 years old. She thought that was funny. She said, "You've been driving since I was 4 years old." I said, "Yeah." But prayer demonstrates our own powerlessness at the same time. We are all powerless over everything in this world, folks. We have no power or control over the way things go except as God directs them and allows them. When we think about His sovereignty, we know that we are empowered through His Holy Spirit. We're enabled to do the things that we do. I can't preach without God, folks. I can't comprehend His Word without Him. He has to open it up for me. I simply need to devote myself to looking at it. And then you look at, here's another song, number 381 in your hymnals. You don't have to sing along. I just want to sing a line or two. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. You singing along, Gar? Amen. You know, in Jesus, He taught by example, too. He taught a lot of different ways. And the effective fervent prayer of faith avails much. I want you to open your Bible to the 5th chapter of James now. That's page 814 in the Pew Bible, page 814. We're going to read verses 13 through 18. James chapter 5 and verses 13 through 18. Hear what's written there. Is any among you afflicted? Let them pray. Is any merry? Let them sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that which he converted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Critically important that we pray, folks. It's important that we pray. We believe in God. We recognize the fact that He's Almighty. And one of the examples that Jesus taught, one of the examples he gave is the fact that he prayed himself to the Father. He prayed. He knew the need for prayer and he modeled it for his followers. He prayed often and sometimes he prayed through the night. He obviously enjoyed communing with the Father and communicating in prayer. Now I have to ask, do we enjoy praying to the Father? Do we enjoy communicating with our Heavenly Father, our friend, the judge, who can make the difference? Whenever we set about to do something, we must pray. Whenever we have a need, we must pray and pray and pray and pray and not stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Whenever we see needs for others, we're to pray for them also. Just like the believers who were gathered at John Mark's mom's place were praying for Pete when he was in jail. As I wrap this up, I'm going to give more biblical teaching on prayer, but just briefly, like an overview. The Holy Spirit is our comforter who will pray through us if we are fully yielded to Him. Yielded. Yielded and still. It's interesting, Connie and I hadn't conversed about what the message was today, but the Lord led her to bring her devotion, her call to worship on prayer, communicating with God, going deeper in prayer. It's critical for us. Romans 8 teaches us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weaknesses. So we ask God to send His Spirit upon us. I pray for God to send His Spirit upon Gary, that He pour out His Spirit upon him, that his body would be strengthened, that his mind would be strengthened, that as he endures what he's enduring right now, he has the message to deliver to those in the allopathic medical model that he could maybe change one soul and convert them into somebody that understands the truth about how God brings healing. I'd like to see that. I'd like all of us to pray more. More often, more fervently. As we would gather here in this building, we used to have prayer meetings on Friday night. And on those Friday night prayer meetings, we saw changes happening that were reflected on Sunday mornings. But then we stopped. Found myself sitting here alone more times than not. And I wouldn't turn on the lights and I wouldn't turn on the heat. It was winter time and I'd just sit here and I'd say, okay, God, what do you got for us? I'm here. It's just me and you, Lord. There's two of us. Jesus' teachings on prayer emphasize the need for habitual prayer. His teaching of God as Father and His teaching of God as our friend give two aspects of the approach. We come to Him as a child would to a father. And we come to Him as a friend. God, I need your friendship. I need your help. I need you, Father. You're the one that's in control, and I need you, my friend, to help me. There are some people that refuse to ask for help. Some people are too proud to ask for help. Some people are too proud to bow their knee to God and say, God, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't take it. I need you. And we need to be those people that do that. That come to God and say, God, I can't handle this. I need your help. I need your help for my friends. I need your help for every aspect of my life. Let's recognize that because the Word tells us we have not because we ask not. And let's ask. Let's ask God. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see Him answer those prayers. I have prayed for people and I have seen miraculous healings, folks. Haven't touched them. Prayed for a young lady who was in Italy. Her dad was here. He stopped me in the parking lot. He said, Pastor, my daughter is sick. She's about to have a baby. They think the baby's going to die. They think she's going to die. I would really like it if you would pray. And I prayed, God, I know you can reach across the waters. You can touch this young lady. And I asked him to heal her. And you know, I got a report just a week later that she and the baby were fine. I didn't do that. All I did was ask my father, my friend, and I interceded on behalf of my other friend who needed the loaves, okay? My friend had a need, and so I prayed for that need, and God met that need. And I only use that as an example, folks. I'm not some faith healer, okay? But I believe and I have faith and I trust that God can do anything. I know that He has the power. I've seen Him do it in my life. I have seen Him convert me from being broken, near death, to life. I've seen Him take me from a state of incapacity to what you see today. Limited capacity. But He uses me. I'm like a broken down old wreck, okay? When He's done, you better believe I'll probably just fall in a heap on the floor. But until He's done, I'll keep serving Him. And all of us need to be good about that. And let's not forget about God as the judge. It's nice to think of Him as our Father. It's nice to think of Him as our friend. But we have to remember He's also the judge and He has the final say. And sometimes He says no. But let's go to our Creator in everything and always as our Father in heaven. And let's remain faithful. Let's be faithful to the One who is faithful. He's always faithful. He's never unfaithful. Let's recognize that God wants us to come to Him. Let's also remember that He is that supreme judge who makes the final decision. Our Lord prayed for Himself and He prayed for others in many situations. He prayed in many circumstances and He prayed for a variety of purposes. All of that would take too much time for us to look at it today, folks. And maybe as we go forward in the rest of this year, we'll look at more avenues of prayer and more ways that Jesus taught prayer. By His example, He prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently all the way to the cross. Remember when He was hanging on the cross, what did He say? He prayed for those who had destroyed His human life. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think there's two aspects to that. First of all, they didn't know they were doing a good thing. And I think Jesus was asking that the Father would forgive them for not realizing they were fulfilling His plan in building His covenant with the rest of the world. Now those people are no longer the sole exclusive heirs to the kingdom. God has grafted in everybody. Remember a few messages ago, we talked about being grafted in. When Peter saw the sheep come down out of heaven and all these animals and creeping things, and he said, "Oh no, Lord, I can't touch that. I've never touched anything that's unclean." And God said, "You shouldn't call things unclean when I've made them clean." God said, "Now it's open for everybody." Jesus broke the barrier and the rest of us could come in. Our Lord prayed. He even prayed for those who had tormented Him. Can we do that? It's hard. Sometimes it's hard. But I'll tell you what. I've learned to do it. And I think I learned to do it because I've been tormented by a lot of people through a lot of circumstances. And so if I happen to go by a particular building or somebody's house or something and I know that they need prayer, I pray for them. And there's some people I go by their house every day practically. Lord bless them. It was just a little prayer like that. You ask for God's blessing on somebody. And I praise Him for that. The ability to do it. Because it wasn't me, folks. That's not me. John, you know what I'm talking about, okay? You know, if somebody does you wrong, you want to make sure they never do you or anybody else wrong again. Right, Johnny? You know. Yeah. We know what that... But God makes it possible for us to say, "Forgive them, Father. Forgive them." Jesus prayed earnestly and fervently, and we should too. Our Creator wants us to call on Him in prayer. He wants us to forgive others as He forgives us. He wants us to rely on Him just as children rely on their parents. Isn't it a blessing to hear their voices in the service today? It's wonderful. And just as those faithful believers prayed for Peter while he was in prison, God wants us to pray for others. Pray remembering Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Jesus said that. Do you believe Him? Do you believe that He meant what He said? That's written in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 7 if you want to check for yourself. And then also, Jesus said, "All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing and shall receive. And that's found in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. When we pray, folks, we must believe that we'll receive. We must ask. We must seek. We must knock. It's like our bulletin cover says, prayer is the key that unlocks what? The door. Prayer is the key that unlocks the door. Let's be those who are knocking on the door, but at the same time remembering our prayers are the key that open that door. Now let's pray. Father, help us to pray that way every time we pray. Help us to pray remembering that we are to ask and it'll be given. Seek and we'll find it, and knock and it will be opened for us. Help us to remember that whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we'll receive. You know that Jesus prayed. He prayed for others. He prayed for Himself. He prayed to you. So help us to always remember to pray to you, our Heavenly Father, our friend, and yet also the judge. Let us recognize that we don't have things because we don't ask for them, just as it's written in James chapter 4 and verse 2. Help us to remember, Father, that Jesus' teaching on prayer emphasized the need for habitual prayer. Help us, Father. Anoint us that we would be praying people. Pour out Your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of My voice, Lord. I pray that You would help all of us to seek You through prayer. And know that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And He will pray through us if we're fully yielded to Him. So help us to yield. Help us to give up ourselves. Help us to leave ourselves behind and fully immerse ourselves in Your will and Your way. I pray this all in Christ's name. Also lift Gary up to You, Lord, who's laying in a hospital bed here. He's able to join us through this modern contraption, whatever it's called. And I thank You for that, Father. I ask that You would touch him. I ask, Lord God, that You would touch his body, that You would strengthen his body against this illness, that You would give him strength, Father, to stand, to be able to proclaim Your goodness and the goodness of the things of this earth, that You provide for healing and for the benefit of all. I pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's open our hymnals to number 449. Number 449. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing, To God Be the Glory.